Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 141. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and joining me this week is my special guest co-host, CJ Chris Johnston.
Hey, Chris, good to be back on Power Pros. Good to talk Nintendo with The Hoff.
Good to have you back, CJ.
We saw each other at E3.
Yes, we did. We actually met up in person for the first time in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we discussed Nintendo things.
Indeed we did. Surprise.
Yep. Which is, of course, what we are going to be doing here this week on the podcast, talking about some new games, talking about some news, and then we'll have this week's big topic discussion, which we are calling Revenge of the NES Classic.
Dun, dun, dun.
But before we get to that, let us kick things off by talking about some of the latest game releases, and specifically, let's start with Mario Tennis Aces for the Nintendo Switch. This is, of course, the all-new Mario Tennis game developed by Camelot. It features online and offline competitive gameplay, an adventure story mode, a tournament mode, and more than 15 playable characters, including Mario, Luigi, Wario, Yoshi, Peach, Daisy, Bowser, Boo, Donkey Kong, and, yes, everyone's favorite, Waluigi. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to play it at all yet, but CJ, I understand that you have, so I would love to hear your thoughts on this game.
I have played a very little. There is probably not much difference between what you have played and what I have played. I mean, I booted it up and I went right into the story mode. It doesn't actually take you to a title screen.
Oh, okay.
And boots you right in. And played two or three levels so far in the story mode.
Well, that's really what I've been wondering about so far. If that's the thing I've been wanting to get into. You know, I'm glad that's the first thing that throws you into, because that's really what I am most interested in about the game.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cool setup with like a world map and whatnot. And it's just teaching me the basics of how to play at the moment. Hmm. But it does seem like this is a lot more complicated than Wii Sports Tennis in terms of the amount of shots you have and the different hops around the court that you can make. So I'm still very much a novice at all of that.
So what have you done in story mode so far? Have you had to fight off any enemies or complete any quests or anything like that?
Yeah, I fought Drybones.
Ah, okay.
He's your first opponent in the game, and then the next one has you shooting at a cave wall with specific shots, like underhand shots and lob shots and things like that. So those were the two things that I did.
Okay, well, it's good that they sort of allow you to learn the basics of gameplay instead of just throwing you in there, just like, here you go, do your thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can survive.
Yeah, I have heard, however, that the story mode is fairly brief, which personally I'm fine with, because I don't have, a ton of time to game, and I do
yeah, I know what you mean.
Enjoy the online aspects of games like this, even though if I played online right now, I'd probably get beaten to heck. That is most of the appeal to me, is playing other people online.
Mm-hmm.
I may be different than other folks who were anticipating Mario Tennis Aces, but there you go.
Yeah, for me, once I do finally get to play it, story mode is all where it's at. I don't know if I'll ever get around to jumping in and doing much online stuff, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, one of the things that they do now is they give you early access to certain characters that they're releasing if you compete in the online tournaments that they're having. So,
oh, interesting.
A little bit of an incentive for maybe even you to try that out.
Indeed. Now, have you played enough to get a feel for any of the characters? Do you have an early favorite or anything like that?
I always play as Mario in these games. But no, I haven't really learned the nuance. I have read online that there is nuance to these characters and that there are several overpowered characters in online play, which I'm sure the fine folks at Camelot will end up balancing. But for right now, I'm sticking with Mario.
Okay, well, it is Mario Tennis, so I guess that makes sense.
Yes, indeed.
And I guess my other question about it is, this shot gauge that is used to determine if you can pull off some of the cooler moves in the game. Mm. What are your early thoughts on that? Is it a good thing, a bad thing? Is it hard to master?
I think it's good overall. It is not hard to master. I think you have to, at least as far as I have played, you just hit the A button very early after your opponent has hit the ball, and then you get in position, and you, basically while you're getting into position to make your shot, you power up that gauge. So it seems fairly straightforward, but then again, when combined with all of the other things that the game is doing, it's a little bit tougher than previous tennis games, but I'm sure if I played a lot of this, I would master it in no time.
That makes sense. Clearly, you haven't played a ton yet, but given what you have played, what are your early impressions overall? Good, bad, somewhere in the middle?
Early impressions are that I really like it. I did play the online beta that they had.
Oh, yeah?
And that was a lot of fun. And in that, they described like a simpler mode, like a simple control mode. And there's also the motion control mode, which I haven't had a chance to try out with the family quite yet. But since we played a lot of Wii Sports tennis, I'm sure that that they would be totally into that.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about those.
Yeah. So this game seems to me like a good summer distraction.
Okay, cool. Well, that certainly sounds very promising and makes me want to, you know, get a hold of the game and check it out all the more.
Excellent. We should battle together online at some point.
Yes, hopefully we'll have the chance.
Yes.
However, I understand that is not the only new release you've been playing on Switch. You've also been playing something else, right?
That's right. I've checked out Paladins from Hi-Rez Studios.
Now, that's kind of an interesting release because the official game doesn't really come out for a while, right? I mean, this is a free-to-play game that's coming out in a couple months, but you can pay $30 basically for early access and get a hold of it now. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, you're correct. So Paladins is out on the PC, PS4, Xbox One, basically all platforms, and it is a free-to-play game on those platforms. For Switch, initially it is paid. Mm-hmm. You have to buy a Founders Pack purchase in order to unlock functionality in the game. But once you do, you have access to all of the characters that are presently available, plus all future characters that they're going to introduce. And Paladins is, for those who don't know, is a hero-based shooter that is similar somewhat to Overwatch, but it has some differences in the gameplay.
Okay. Do tell.
Yeah, so like Overwatch, there's an objective mode, and you have to take over a specific area of the map with your team and then push a payload to an endpoint. Mm-hmm. And that's very much like Overwatch. And there are something like 25 or 35 characters. There's a lot of characters in this game.
Oh boy.
And they're divided amongst four main strengths. So I usually play support, but there's also like a frontline and damage class. And there's one other class I can't remember. But then you learn their special abilities, and each one controls kind of similarly, so you can get a good feel for each one. But they have their own strengths and weaknesses as well. The guy that I like playing so far is named Grok, and he's like a big troll type guy.
That's a good name for a troll.
Grok, yes. And he lays down a healing tower, basically. So you can be in the middle of battle, and if your teammates are right in your vicinity, you lay down this this healing item, and within a certain radius, they can get healed. I happen to really love the support role in games like this and Overwatch, so that's certainly what I'm more comfortable with than trying to be a damage per second type player.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you use your special ability, do you ever say something like, I'm going to grok your world?
Well, there's no voice chat.
Well, you could say it to yourself, at least.
I suppose I could. I have not to date said that, but maybe next time I play, I will.
What a pity. So when you're playing this game online, how big are the teams?
It's 8 versus 8.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I think. Pretty sure. Don't quote me on that. And you can party up with friends on your friends list. So I played few games with somebody who was also on my friends list. And we played a deathmatch game. That's the other big mode in this, aside from a ranked mode. So in deathmatch, it's team deathmatch.
All right, cool.
And very similar to deathmatch in other games. But there are so many characters and so many different combinations of powers and things that it makes for a really interesting time.
All right, cool. That was actually my next question, was about the mode. So that is definitely good to know.
Yeah, and one of the really interesting things about the gameplay is, you know, normally in shooters like this, you when you die and you respawn, you have like a long walk back to the action.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this, when you respawn, you get placed on the back of a little horse. And you can travel back to the action a lot faster. But when you hit an action button after you arrive, like if you're going to attack, you immediately dismount the horse, and you can't get back on until you die again. So pretty interesting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very peculiar, I guess.
Yes. But yeah, it is going to be free to play in a little bit here, but the Founders Pack is $29.99.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I have to admit, this one was not really on my radar, but it definitely sounds interesting.
Yeah, to me, it's sort of proof that if Activision Blizzard really wanted to put Overwatch on the Switch, they could, because this game performs really well on the Switch. It is, you know, a cross-platform shooter, although you can't do cross-platform play in this one.
Okay.
But it runs at 60 frames a second, and Digital Foundry did a video on it comparing it to other versions, and it compares very favorably.
Okay. All right. Cool. That sounds great. Very, very good to know.
Yes.
Now, as for me personally, I've had a busy week, so I have not had a chance to play a lot of new things, but I did at least download and check out the new demos available for Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. Grab that on both the Switch and the Nintendo 3DS. And yes, indeed, it is Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. CJ, did you download and check these out also?
I did not, but mostly because I played the ultimate demo of this game, and that's the Wii U version.
Yes. Not exactly a demo. Yeah, this is actually a very short demo. It's only 3 levels long, and the same 3 levels on both Switch and 3DS. They are a couple of very basic levels and then a showdown against the first boss. So unfortunately, even though the Switch game has these new Mario Odyssey inspired levels, none of those are playable in the demo. So like you said, if you have played the Wii U version of the game, then you pretty much don't have that many reasons to check out this demo.
Okay.
There were a couple of things I learned. For one thing, the Switch version seems to constantly have this cursor on the screen. It's just always there because, you know, part of the game involves interacting with the environment.
Right.
And on the Wii U, that means you just touch the touch screen on the gamepad, and that lets you, you know, like raise platforms and things. The same goes for the 3DS version of the game. You just touch that bottom screen and you can activate stuff. On Switch, though, there's this cursor that seems to constantly be there, and that's a little bit unsightly, but, you know, it's not the end of the world.
I wonder if there's going to be an option to hide that or something. That seems strange.
Yeah, you would think there might be a button or something to turn it off and make it go away, but because it is something you do frequently have to do, I guess it kind of makes sense. But yeah, when I was playing using the Pro Controller, that cursor was always there because you have to aim at and interact with things separate from your character.
Okay.
If you play in undocked mode, though, there's no cursor because you can just touch the screen instead.
Right, right. Now, was there any sort of like gyro control that you needed to do with the Pro Controller?
The only gyro control was, you know, using motion to aim this cursor.
Oh, okay.
That was the only use of gyro control that was in there that I noticed. Maybe there's some other option, but that was the only thing I encountered.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
Also, I learned that with the 3DS version, it is in full 3D, stereoscopic 3D, and it does indeed look very nice. The trade-off, of course, is that the graphics aren't in as high resolution as they are on the Wii U or the Switch version, but still, that stereoscopic 3D is very nice. And it would be really, really cool to have.
Yeah, and the bottom and top screens are just the same view, right? Are there no differences at all there?
They are essentially the exact same thing, yeah. I mean, you can see them running side by side, and I was doing them like, wow, this certainly does look a lot nicer in stereoscopic 3D here on the 3DS. But it doesn't lose that much when you look at the bottom screen, and it's in 2D.
Okay.
And of course, that's what you use to interact with and raise those platforms like I was mentioning. But yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I do wish I could have tried one of those new Odyssey stages that is on the Switch, but you know, I guess that's just not happening. I mean, it is the big selling point, so maybe they're like, yeah, if we give that away for free, then you won't want to buy the game anymore.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Still, it would have been cool to try one of those out in action and be like, yes, I definitely need more of this. Of course, on the downside, apparently what they're saying is that they are actually taking out some of the older bonus levels that were based on Super Mario 3D World in the Switch version and replacing them with the Odyssey levels, and that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't like that. I would rather keep those as an option at the very least. Fine if you want to replace them maybe in the main game, have them as a separate thing.
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird. I feel like the Switch version should be the ultimate version of the game. It shouldn't have stuff taken out.
Yeah, but I guess people who didn't have a Wii U won't miss those.
I guess not. Or if you did have a Wii U version, well, maybe you still have that game and you can play that version. That's or maybe true. They're giving you a reason to be like, oh, well, pick up the 3DS version and the Switch version. Then you can get them both.
Yeah.
That's asking a lot, though.
Or maybe they'll do them as DLC or something for the holidays.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. Anyway, it is just Captain Toad as we already know it. It's good to see it plays well on both systems. I'm not sure if I'm going to pick it up yet. I would really like to play those Odyssey levels that are going to be there in the Switch version, but we'll see. We shall see.
All right.
Are you going to pick this one up?
I am picking it up. I already pre-ordered it and have downloaded it on the eShop, so I'm good to go. I really loved the game on the Wii U, but never finished it completely, so
yeah, same with me.
Looking forward to playing it again.
All right, very cool. Well, let us move along then from the game impressions and discuss a little bit of news. The first news item that I want to discuss is that Nintendo has added Nintendo Labo motorbike support for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That was a big surprise. It sort of came out of nowhere. But yeah, you can now use the Toy-Con motorbike controller to play Mario Kart 8. From what I have heard, it is not the best way to play the game when it comes to, you know, actually, you know, performing well and doing great in the races, but it certainly sounds interesting and is a very cool and unexpected addition for both Labo and Mario Kart.
Yeah, completely. You know, for kids who have made the motorbike and to be able to suddenly play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with something that they made, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. Have you tried this out? Do you have both those titles?
I have both the titles, but we have not made the motorbike yet. I have to do that first, and then we'll try it out, and I will report back to you.
All right. Well, that is definitely something for you to look forward to.
Yes.
Now, in the press release where Nintendo was talking about this, they also said that more titles will be compatible with Nintendo Labo in the future. And they did not specify what those are going to be, but, you know, it sort of got the wheels turning in my head. I'm like, man, what else could they be talking about? What do you think they might do with future game updates that could use some of this stuff?
Yeah, let's think of all the racing games we can. Let's see, Wave Race, F-Zero, I think that's now confirmed.
Well, I think they're talking about adding in... you know, Labo support to existing games that are out there.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, the first thing that came to my mind was like, oh, you know, fishing in a Zelda game.
Oh.
And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think there is any fishing in Breath of the Wild, if I recall properly. But I'm like, well, maybe they'll patch in some fishing, you know?
That would be super interesting.
Or maybe there's some other game that has fishing in it, because, you know, the fishing controller seems like a perfect fit for a nice Zelda game or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Beyond that, maybe there would be some way to use Labo to, like, control those RC cars that are in Mario Odyssey or play some of the other mini games.
I like it. I like where your head's at here. This is good stuff.
But, you know, aside from that, it's like, what else could they do? I'll be very interested and curious to find out.
Smash Brothers. Labo stage.
It could be. Yeah. You never know. Mm-hmm. Could be Labo-controlled characters in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you put the Switch screen in the house, and then you play Smash Brothers, and you can change the little aspects of the level using the little keys that you plug into the house. It'd be great.
Hmm. Or maybe you can control a fighter by putting on the robot suit, and you like, you know, you swing your fists to punch with your character in Smash Brothers.
There you go.
Not sure how you do all the special moves, but I'm sure they could figure out some way.
I'm sure they could.
Or what if they had the robot, you know, used for arms? That would be one that actually might make even more sense than Smash.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy, but I could see it.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see what they do.
Indeed.
Another bit of news that caught my attention actually broke, I think, about a month ago, and somehow I totally passed over it at the time, but I did want to circle back and mention that over in Japan, they have announced that Layton's Mystery Journey DX is coming out for the Nintendo Switch on August 9th. And that, of course, is the previous Layton game that was released on mobile as well as on 3DS last year, the one that stars Professor Layton's daughter, Catrielle. And, you know, just last week, someone wrote in, was talking about how they would want to see Leighton games coming to Switch and, you know, hopefully a compilation or something. I was thinking, well, how are they going to do that? Would that be possible? And at the time, I didn't think, oh, could they even do that? But obviously, they definitely can, and that is very cool. On the other hand, this installment of the Leighton series is far and away my least favorite. I suppose you've played this one, CJ?
No, I have not.
Yeah, well, you're not missing very much. I would certainly advise playing any other Professor Leighton game before this one. The characters just weren't that great. There's some important story elements that aren't resolved. They are clearly holding out in hopes of making a sequel. And just some of the puzzles were just really bad. Just a couple, you know, really obnoxious trick puzzles. And it's not like every puzzle was like that, but there were a few of them that just made me want to, you know, throw my 3DS out the window. There was one of them, actually, where the solution in the game was wrong, in fact.
Oh, no. That's not what you want.
Yeah, like, I don't know if it was just a bad translation or what, but the solution that they provided violated the rules they laid out, so that one was very, very annoying.
Oops.
But if they do bring this one out here in North America, hopefully they will have a chance to fix that localization and make it more adequate. Yeah. So, yeah, out of all the latent news I could get, this is not what I wanted to hear, really. Huh. But still, it is interesting. It's kind of promising. And I know they're working on, like, an HD mobile version of the original Professor Leighton. So maybe they're going to do this first, and then they'll be like, oh, well, now we'll bring this remake of the original Leighton game to Switch as well. And I'm crossing my fingers that that will happen somewhere down the road.
That would be cool, because it's been a long time since I played the first few Leightons.
Yeah, it has indeed. It would be great to reintroduce that to a new audience.
Yes.
And in another bit of interesting news, the folks at Bandai Namco have revealed that Dragon Ball FighterZ, which had been previously announced for the Switch, is going to be coming out on September 28th. And if you pre-order the Switch version, it will include a downloadable version of the Super Famicom game Dragon Ball Z Super Butoden, or Super Butt Odin. I don't know how to pronounce that, really.
One of those. This is interesting, yeah. Interesting CJ factoid here. Super Butoden 3 was the first game that I imported. I bought the Super Famicom version of that.
Oh, wow.
And played it just because back in the day, I used to read a lot of video game magazines, and there was a lot of coverage of Dragon Ball in them as being like an awesome import game. And I thought I was going to totally love Super Butoden 3. I did not, though, and I found out that the good ones were the first one and second one. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. But
that's very promising because, you know, back in the day, like kind of you were implying, a lot of those anime-based 2D fighting games, they were just sort of trying to capitalize on a trend and, you know, weren't necessarily very good from a gameplay perspective.
Yep.
But that's good to hear that supposedly this first one actually is a good game.
Yeah, now all we need is someone to release a Ranma 1/2 fighting game that includes the Super Famicom versions of those, which I also read a lot about back in the day and also really wanted to play.
Well, you will not be getting that one here, but yeah, this game was never released in North America before, so it'll be the first time that people will be able to get Super Butoden. It features 13 different playable characters and, as I mentioned, is a, you know, classic pixel art 2D one-on-one fighter.
Yes, indeed. All the Super Saiyan you can handle.
Yeah, I really wasn't terribly interested in this game before. You know, Dragon Ball FighterZ, that is. But for some reason, you know, being able to get my hands on a classic, previously unreleased 2D fighting game is like really piquing my interest. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I should be paying attention to this. I can get some cool extra downloadable game that I was never able to play before. Very interesting. Very interesting.
They have tempted you with a ROM dump.
they have indeed. Yeah, I don't know if I told you when we were at E3, but I had a very bad experience with Dragon Ball FighterZ while I was there.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, I went to the Bandai Namco booth to check it out, and you know, I get a hold of the controller and I start to play, and a second player joins in, and I'm looking at the controls just trying to figure out the basics, see what I can do, and as soon as the match starts, this guy blasts me with a full-screen fireball. I can't even see my character anymore. And then he rushes in and, like, juggles me into the air. And I'm, meanwhile, like, what do I do to attack? How do I tag my characters out? And, like, my character is dead before I can even do anything. And I'm still trying to figure out the controls, and he just, like, kills off all my characters. And I'm like, wow, man, if you guys wanted to, you know, fight an opponent that couldn't fight back, I mean, I could have just, you know, put the controller down and saved you the trouble. But, yeah, he clearly had played the game before and knew what he was doing. And, yeah, I could not even figure anything out, like, tagging my characters. So, yeah, hopefully I will have a better experience the next time I play. But that did not go terribly well.
I have heard great things about Dragon Ball FighterZ, but I have not myself played it.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a great pedigree. I've heard good things. Has a good developer. Just possibly not that friendly to newcomers when they're going up against a seasoned veteran.
Indeed, yes.
Which I suppose is probably how it should be.
Yeah. Just like the arcade back in the day.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, I guess that takes care of the news, but speaking of E3, I did want to talk to you, CJ, just a little bit about E3 some more.
Sounds good.
You know, it's been 2 weeks since the show. We're both still, you know, sort of recovering. We had the opportunity to play a lot of fun games. We had a good time. We got to meet up with lots of folks we haven't seen in ages. But I can't help but feeling like something was missing from this year's show on the Nintendo front. And I wanted to see if you were feeling the same as I was about that.
I absolutely was, yes. I do feel that way.
Yeah, like, you know, we've got Smash Brothers coming up, and that is going to be super awesome, but, you know, that's going to be this huge feast come December, but I feel like, aside from that, you know, the other things, you know, there's going to be good stuff, but, you know, maybe there's just not enough. It feels like it's going to be, you know, either feast or famine, really.
Yeah, it does seem that way. I did expect more from that direct, although I did appreciate the 25 minutes that was spent on Smash.
Yeah, totally.
I would have liked to have heard about more things that were coming our way between the time that the Captain Toad releases and December.
Yeah, that is definitely an issue. So, you know, starting in October, we're going to be getting Super Mario Party. Then November, we get Pokemon. In December, we get Smash Brothers.
Yep.
And, you know, then in July, we're going to be getting Captain Toad and Octopath Traveler on the same day. But what about the time between then? There's not that much in August and September, and it looks like we're kind of going to be going into another one of those traditional Nintendo droughts. And so it's like, if they had something, they really should have been telling us about it.
I do wonder if they focused their E3 Direct on just the big things, and there are other things coming, but they wanted to keep the message very focused on a core set of games.
You know, I think that's definitely part of it. That has worked very well for them in the last 2 years, focusing very heavily on Zelda and Mario Odyssey. But yeah, for some reason, it just seems like it didn't work quite as well this year, in my opinion. You know, maybe part of it is just that, you know, we know they have these other games in the wings and they weren't showing them off. Or maybe it is the fact that, you know, these couple summer months are going to be very, very quiet.
Could be. Could be. I was hoping, I don't know about you, to hear about more Joy-Con colors.
Oh.
Because that's the kind of Nintendo fan I am. Or maybe even a Joy-Con with a D-pad. I know that's been sort of a hot topic
amongst
people who enjoy playing the arcade classics or 2D games, having that traditional D-pad. That would have been a nice thing. But maybe that kind of thing wouldn't have fit in this presentation.
You know, when it comes to Nintendo's E3 presentations, I always expect them to just be focusing on games. If they're talking about peripherals or talking about new hardware features, I don't feel like that's usually the place where they're going to do it. I do hope for, you know, more Amiibo announcements, of course. They do that with some frequency.
Yep.
But I felt like it was just, you know, the games where it was the weakest. There should have been, you know, more games to talk about, more games for people to look forward to, other than, you know, the fantastic looking Smash Brothers.
Yes. Well, like, what sorts of games do you have in mind? Like, what level of release are you thinking that they're missing?
Well, I suppose the most obvious ones would be, you know, the games that we already knew about. You know, there was no Metroid Prime 4. And of course, I've talked about that before, so no need to, you know, beat that dead horse too much. But it would have been really cool to see an update on that, regardless of when it was coming out.
Yep.
There's the new Yoshi game as well. And then there's Bayonetta 3. So there are three games that we already know are coming soon and just would have been really cool to have updates on. And if we had seen those, I think it would have been like, okay, look at all this cool stuff that's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I agree. Or something like the previously handheld focused Zelda or Mario entries, like New Super Mario Brothers or Link Between Worlds. Eventually, you'd think those will have to make the jump to Switch, and maybe be sort of in between appetizers for when the real big 3D Zelda and Mario come out.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
That would have been nice to have some kind of thing there, even if it was like a Switch version of Link Between Worlds. I would have been over the moon about that.
Yeah, I would not complain about that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But you make a good point about the handhelds in that, you know, 3DS is not actually dead yet. There are going to be games coming out. And it's funny because on the Nintendo press site, they actually included some of this stuff in their E3 section, such as WarioWare Gold, which is actually coming out in August. And then there's that new Mario & Luigi remake coming out. But those weren't at the show anywhere. They weren't in the presentation anywhere. And it just would have been nice if they had been, you know, talked about in some way to be like, oh, yeah, you know, we haven't forgotten about these yet. Even if these months seem kind of slim, we do have some stuff coming your way, even if it's not on Switch. And I know that's not how most people want their games, but it still would have been nice to acknowledge them and just sort of flesh out the lines a bit with content like that. Luigi's Mansion as well.
Yeah, I agree. Or even if they were to say, hey, Samus Returns was out on 3DS last year and you loved it, and I know we're not going to show you Metroid Prime 4 yet, but we're releasing Samus Returns on Switch or something like that. I would have been happy with that too.
Possibly. That certainly would have been a fun announcement. You know, I'd be kind of worried about it losing the stereoscopic 3D since that was so cool on the 3DS version. But yeah, getting more titles like that to flesh out the lineup would definitely be a plus.
Yeah, I did think, you know, the Fortnite announcement, you know, while as Nintendo fans, maybe we don't care about Fortnite, but Fortnite is the biggest game in the world right now.
It's certainly a big game.
That's certainly a big get for Nintendo, even if other big third-party support is sort of a question mark.
You know, that was the other thing that I felt was lacking from this year's show. And it kind of surprises me because we know how much momentum the Switch has. We know that pretty much every time a new game is announced, everyone's like, well, where's the Switch version if they don't announce one? And so when a lot of big third-party games were announced, I was kind of thinking, okay, there's going to be a Switch version, right? Specifically, I thought Resident Evil 2 would have a Switch version.
Yep.
I thought the next Assassin's Creed would have a Switch version. And, of course, we know that there is going to be a Switch version of Dragon Quest XI, but it was a no-show as far as E3 goes.
Sure, yeah, and I thought we might see more stuff from Bethesda as well, since
Very
Doom
true.
And Wolfenstein have been on that platform.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I was, you know, secretly hoping that maybe Beyond Good and Evil 2 would also be announced as coming to Switch, and Kingdom Hearts 3 I thought would be awesome as well. I still don't understand why none of the mainline Kingdom Hearts games have been ported to Nintendo systems.
Yeah, or there was that rumor that Final Fantasy 15 would come as the sort of the mobile version of that.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
That would not make me happy at all. That would just make me angry, actually.
Since they brought out like a cell phone version that uses, you know, chibi-fied characters.
Yeah, they did indeed.
There was thought, maybe that'll come to Switch, and nothing on that.
Yeah, then on top of all that stuff, you know, there's like all these other Nintendo franchises where you could be like, oh, well, you know, I wish they had shown this, I wish they had shown that. You know, obviously Animal Crossing was one that I mentioned before as being at the top of my list, but, you know, I can't really expect them to just bring out, you know, every single franchise. But, you know, there is a lot of stuff that we knew about, and we've got these empty months that don't have Switch titles in them, and then other months where it's just, you know, only one release a month. It just feels like there has to be more. There has to be more.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this before when I was on the show, and we were talking about the online service, how it was coming in September.
Oh, right.
And that there would have to be like a big, they would want to launch it with a title that would come out around the same time and really push people to pay for that service. Doesn't really look like that has happened.
That is true. There are not any new releases for September, actually, that I can recall, other than the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Torna, the Golden Country DLC, which actually is also being sold as a standalone product.
That's true.
But that's not exactly a game that is known for online gameplay. It is a single-player game, so that does not make any sense to have that one launch alongside the Nintendo Switch online service. So yeah, Yeah, they really should have something out there with it. You're totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately, I think that probably Nintendo was just holding back a little bit too much. They probably do have something in the works for that. They probably do have other games coming out later this year to flesh out the lineup. It's just, you know, we don't know about them yet. They weren't ready to talk about it yet for whatever reason. And, you know, again, while Smash Bros. Is going to be awesome, I do just wish that we knew about more that was coming.
I completely agree. I want to see more smaller games. You know, Nintendo supported the 3DS with just a lot of great software and mm-hmm. continues to. And even the Wii U, like, they just made a lot of great stuff for that platform. And I want to see, like, Nintendo do that kind of thing on Switch. They really don't have, I don't think they have any, like, download-only smaller titles for Switch.
Yeah, I don't think Nintendo's made any yet.
Yeah, but like for 3DS, we had the Badge Arcade, and we had all these little, sort of little things that that just aren't present yet on Switch, and I hope they're working on them.
Yes, absolutely. Me too. All right then, I think it is time for us to take an intermission, and then we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is Revenge of the NES Classic. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the Revenge of the NES Classic. Now, for those of you who are unaware, the NES Classic will be back on store shelves this Friday, June 29th. So if you are not already in line when you hear this, it is probably too late. I hope I'm lying about that. I hope that is not true. Hopefully,
I hope so too.
They have a lot more. You know, when it came out the first time, I never even saw it in stores other than when I picked mine up. And, you know, this is supposed to remedy that. They were, you know, impossible to find, and, you know, they just didn't release that many of them. But they are finally back, and hopefully everyone who wants one will finally get their chance to pick one up. But, you know, we were thinking, what if instead of re-releasing the same NES Classic that came out a couple years ago, what if they had done an NES Classic Volume 2 and put brand new games on the system? So that is what this week's big topic is all about. What if they had done an all-new NES Classic instead of just re-releasing the old one?
That's right.
So just as a refresher, the original NES Classic has Balloon Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania 1 and 2, Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Final Fantasy, Galaga, Ghosts and Goblins, Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, The Legend of Zelda, Mario Brothers, Mega Man 2, Metroid, Ninja Gaiden, or Ninja Gaiden as the kids call it,
mm-hmm.
Pac-Man, Punch-Out, Star Tropics, Super C, Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, Tecmo Bowl, and Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. So none of those are qualified for this hypothetical NES Classic Volume 2 that we're going to be talking about for this big topic.
You know, if they do make a version 2,
oh, yeah?
I would really appreciate a rewind feature of some kind. I know that has made it into various classic game collections recently.
Yes.
And I do really appreciate that when playing classic games. I enjoy the save state stuff too,
mm-hmm.
but I really would also like a robust rewind feature.
And it's there in the Super NES Classic, so I have That's to believe right. that if they were making a brand new NES Classic, they would indeed include that.
Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, in addition to, you know, putting on new games, I'd love to see that. I would love to see a second controller bundled in like it was with the Super NES Classic. And I have to say, I'll bet there are going to be some people out there buying the NES Classic just to get that second controller, because the controller itself was way harder to find than the hardware was.
That's true. I got lucky and was able to order one on Walmart.com.
Oh.
At, I think it was like 2 a.m. So wow. I was lucky.
Well, that did not happen to me. I never saw one available online, but on that first night when it came out, when I did line up, they had either one or two spare controllers, and I think I was the second person in line, so I was able to get one of those controllers.
Oh, but yeah, nice. They had,
you know, like two controllers and, you know, 40 NES Classics by themselves, so I got the controller, but, you know, it was only those one or two that I ever saw. You know, other than that, it's like, nope, you got your system, but if you want a second controller, you are totally out of luck. And I never had any other opportunity to get one.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like a 20-to-1 ratio of controllers to systems, it's just nuts. So
yeah. Yeah.
I'm really glad they fixed that with the Super NES Classic. And yes, if there was a Volume 2, it would make a ton of sense to add that rewind. Oh, and the thing I would personally want is an NES Classic compatible version of the NES Max controller. That is my dream.
And no Zapper?
Oh, well, you know, I suppose there could be a Zapper. There weren't any Zapper games on there, but no. Yeah, sure, that would be cool too. Yeah, that, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, if they did a version 2, I'd love some light gun games, even though I don't know how possible those are now with newfangled televisions, but, you know,
be cool. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, for the purposes of our list, we're not really going to worry about technical limitations like that. We're not going to worry about licensing limitations or things that are, you know, probably impossible because there would just be, you know, too much money involved. We're not going to worry about that. We're just picking, you know, 30 great games we'd love to see on a second NES Classic.
I'm sure we have very similar games on our list, at least some of these. We have not conferred with each other before sharing these lists, so this is going to be interesting.
No, we haven't. So let's not waste any more time. Let's jump into it and go down one of our lists. Should I start first?
Go for it.
Okay. So, number one on my list would be Battletoads.
Ah, yes. Classic game from Rare.
Yes, super hard game from Rare. One that, you know, is extraordinarily likely to never be on Nintendo platforms again since they are owned by Microsoft now. Mm-hmm. But is a beloved game that was, you know, very groundbreaking at the time. Of course, you know, super duper infuriatingly challenging, but still a great classic.
Indeed.
Next would be Bionic Commando, the excellent Capcom game that does not have a jump button, but instead, you know, you have a grappling hook that lets you swing over obstacles and do all kinds of cool stuff.
Oh, man, how did I miss that one from my list? That's crazy. Yeah, I agree with that. I used to rent Bionic Commando a lot.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun one. And I should mention, these are not in, you know, choice order. These are all in alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. So when I say number three on my list here, it is third alphabetically, and that is Blaster Master, the cool side-scrolling action game where you used both your vehicle and on-foot action to go and rescue your pet frog.
Indeed.
One of the greatest game plots ever.
Another one that I rented a lot but never actually finished, and I recently finished the Blaster Master Zero on the Switch.
Oh, nice. I have not gotten around to actually finishing that game off yet, but it is very, very good.
Yes.
After that, I've got Castlevania III, Dracula's Curse. We got the first two games on the original NES Classic, but not the third one. The third one is, you know, arguably the best game in the series on NES, so I think that would be a very important inclusion. And after that, I've got Contra. Obviously, I've been wanting that game on any system for quite a while now, so I will take it in any form I can get it, but it is one of the all-time greats, two-player co-op shoot-em-up that really, really needs to make a comeback one way or the other. Curse you, Konami.
Indeed.
Then Double Dragon, the original Double Dragon. We had Double Dragon 2 on the NES Classic, and I think that was a great choice because it does have two-player simultaneous gameplay, which the original does not. But the original is still an excellent NES beat-em-up, so I would love to see that one on there.
With all the flicker that the original had, yep.
Yes. And speaking of dragons, also Dragon Warrior. You know, the game that came to define RPGs and, of course, was given away free to Nintendo Power subscribers way back in the day.
Indeed.
Yeah, that one was never on Virtual Console or anything, so I would love to see that one make a comeback. After that, we've got Capcom's platformer DuckTales, which is a fine, fine game, probably one of the best licensed games that's out there, with an excellent soundtrack and cool play mechanics. And then after that, I'm going for a weird one, you know, one that, you know, probably most people wouldn't think of, but I am saying Earthbound Beginnings. That game, of course, you know, never actually came out on the NES back in the day. It was supposed to be released as the original Earthbound, but it got canceled. And so while it wouldn't be a true NES classic, since it was, you know, eventually released on Wii U as Virtual Console, still, I think, like, sort of in the vein of, like, Star Fox 2 showing up on the Super NES Classic, I think it would be a really good fit. There aren't that many, you know, major RPGs on the NES, so I think it would, you know, fill out the variety very nicely in that regard.
Yes, this one was on my list as well, and this goes into that rewind feature, would be really nice, because I've heard that I haven't actually played much of Earthbound Beginnings, but I've heard that it is very difficult and that you have to do a lot of grinding, so it'd be nice.
Yeah, I haven't played that far into it either, and I've also heard that same thing, so I think that's a very good point. After that, a game that probably no one would pick except myself, and that is G.I. Joe, which is shockingly good for a licensed game that came out back in 1991. You know, has you know, wide variety of characters and cool bosses and lots of fun stuff that you wouldn't guess from a you know, licensed Hasbro game, but it's actually quite good. Oh, and speaking of great licensed games, Goonies 2. The exploration action-adventure game from Konami that's, again, remarkably fun for a game based on a fictitious movie sequel.
Definitely, yeah.
Also, Kid Nicky, Radical Ninja. You know, we just got an Arcade Archives version a few months ago, but I would love to see the NES version come back. And personally, I like the NES version more than the arcade version. Life Force, the Konami shooter. We had Gradius in the original NES Classic. Life Force is the follow-up, which offers two-player simultaneous gameplay. So in that regard, actually might be a more enjoyable game. Maniac Mansion. All-time great point-and-click adventure with a great sense of humor. It's really sad that the NES version of that game has pretty much been lost to time, but I would love to see it make a comeback one way or another.
Now, you want the version that you can put the hamster in the microwave, right?
Yes, yes. Although it slips my mind right now if the non-microwavable hamster version was ever actually released. I mean, we know it was supposed to be. You know, I've talked to the guy who was the PR manager with Jalico at the time, and you know, I got him to give me the full scoop, and I've like totally lost my memory of it. It's like, you know, did that one ever actually make it out into the public? Because every version I've ever played has the exploding hamster in there.
Right.
Of course, I feel very bad every time I explode the hamster. And the first time I did it, I literally had to reset my game and start my progress back from wherever I last saved because I felt so horrible at microwaving the hamster. But still, awesome. You got to have that in there.
Yes.
From there, Mega Man and Mega Man 3. I love the Mega Mans. And, you know, Mega Man 2 on the first NES Classic was a fantastic choice. And if you're only going to have one, that's the one to go with. But Mega Man and Mega Man 3 are also very, very worthy. I mean, so are the other Mega Man games, but I figure you don't want to just put every Mega Man game on there. That's overkill. But I'd love to see Mega Man and Mega Man 3 come back. Also, Metal Gear. We know that is not Hideo Kojima's favorite version of the game, and he kind of mocks that version for not having a fight against Metal Gear at the end of the game. But, you know, for those of us who grew up with that version of the game, it seemed pretty darn good at the time, so I'd like to have that on there. Also, a Mighty Final Fight, the cheapified version of the classic beat-em-up. I don't think Mighty Final Fight's as good as, you know, real Final Fight from the arcades or the Super NES, but it was still a very good beat-em-up for the NES, and it's got a great sense of humor. NES Tournament Golf should be on there. That was one that made it onto the Japanese version of the Famicom Classic, and while I think our selection was better overall, I think that was one that was kind of missing. And if you're going to have another sports title added to the mix, I think that is perhaps the most obvious one.
Definitely.
Well, unless I include pro wrestling as a sports title, because that is also on my list.
Yes.
And, you know, again, not to, you know, beat the dead horse, that's one that, of course, I'm a huge fan of and I'd love to see come back one way or another, and you know, should really, really be out there. There actually aren't very many first party games I would add to this thing, because they did a really good job first party wise on the original NES Classic, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. Yeah, all the really top tier first party games are on that first one.
Yeah, and you know, they kind of avoided giving us the garbage, like they didn't put on Urban Champion or Clue Clue Land or anything like that. So but there are a few, aside from NES Tournament Golf and Pro Wrestling that I just mentioned. The other one I would put on would be Pinball. You know, just simple, classic pinball. Mario's in there. Let's do it. It's a fun game. Why not? And Tetris as well, which was originally, you know, published by Nintendo on the NES. I'm not talking about the Tengen version, of course, but the the Nintendo published one. And that might be perhaps, you know, the most blatant omission from the NES Classic, because that is such a major important title. I'm sure you can play Tetris on, you know, like everything in the world. It's probably on your fridge and your toaster and your watch, but you know, it's a timeless game that I think should be included in the mix. Boy, now I'm going all over the place and I've gone out of alphabetical order, but let's get back to it.
You have
Ninja Gaiden 2, the Dark Sword of Chaos, or Chaos as the kids say.
Chaos.
The first Ninja Gaiden was great. The second one, I don't think it's as good, but for a Volume 2, sure, let's do it. It's a excellent game in its own right, even if it's not as great as the first one. And River City Ransom, that is one I would also include, and I think that one was in the Famicom Classic as well. You know, that's the beat-em-up with both co-op action and RPG elements. And I really wish that had made it to the North American version, but it didn't, so you know, if there was a Volume 2, it would be a great inclusion.
Absolutely.
Shadow of the Ninja is one of my favorite NES games, and I feel like it's overlooked by a lot of people. And, you know, it's not as good as Ninja Gaiden, but it's pretty much the second best ninja game on the system.
Hmm.
So I highly recommend that one, and would love to see that one return. And speaking of shadows, I would also do Shadowgate, which is a you know, graphic text adventure with point-and-click elements. It was a port of a Macintosh game, actually, but the NES game was also very, very fun, and so I think it would be a great inclusion. After that, I would pick the NES version of Strider.
Hmm.
You know, it doesn't get the accolades that the arcade version or like the Genesis port of the arcade version get, but I thought it was really, really fun in its own right, and it's got, you know, lots of exploration and, you know, adventure-style elements. You know, you power up your character, learn new moves and stuff like that. And it was re-released on the Game Boy Advance in this, you know, Capcom mini-mix collection alongside Mighty Final Fight and Bionic Commando. But I don't think it's been re-released in any other form, you know, since then. And I would love to see that one have another chance. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, is another favorite of mine. We can burn the original TMNT and, you know, smelt it into liquid.
But
and
that's
never see
the
it
one
again.
People remember. People remember that that one part was so difficult.
I remember because it was, yeah, hard and awful.
Yeah.
If it's on your list, I will not hate you for it, but personally, that one can stay away. But the second one, I really, really liked. It had a great co-op action, and I was a big fan of the arcade game, and, you know, obviously, the NES port had to make a lot of compromises, but it was still very, very fun.
Spoiler, it is on my list.
And rounding out my list would be Trojan from Capcom, which was a, you know, side-scrolling sword-swing action game, which was pretty darn fun. Had some cool play mechanics with a sword and a shield, and it was the first game I ever recall playing where you pressed up to jump, even before Street Fighter. Man, that threw me for a loop for like weeks. I'm like, how are you supposed to avoid these attacks? Oh, you can jump. Wow, crazy.
Nice.
And then Wizards and Warriors, which is another rare game, and so we're sort of coming back to the beginning, just like Battletoads, because they are owned by Microsoft now. We'll probably never get to see that game again, but I thought it was a very fun, very cool fantasy action-adventure game that had lots of cool power-ups and neat places to explore and things to do and lots of gems to collect. So,
well, and that game is not even on Rare Replay, which is
no, it's
a collection
not.
Of games that does in fact have a bunch of NES titles on it, but not that one.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Hey, if it was on there, I might have to actually buy an Xbox One, but since it's not, oh well.
Your entire purchase of an Xbox hinges on Wizards and Warriors. You should write a tweet to Phil Spencer and let him know.
Well, if it had Wizards and Warriors and Iron Sword, that was the game that had Fabio on the cover.
Right,
so if those
right.
two were on there, it would be too overpowering for me. I'd probably have to get an Xbox One for those. Yeah.
Excellent.
But yeah, that is my list. That is all 30 games I would put on my version of an NES Classic Volume 2.
That is a pretty astounding list. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And actually, our lists vary quite a bit, which is good, I suppose.
All right. Cool.
My 30 games are... It's mostly either stuff that I rented or licensed games that likely have no chance of ever being on an NES Classic version 2. But
there's also very likely no chance of getting an NES Classic version 2. So while we're in Fantasyland, let's not worry about it.
Exactly. My number one is Adventure Island.
Oh, a good choice.
I enjoy that series, and I rented it a lot back in the day. I never actually owned any of the Adventure Island games, but I did enjoy controlling Master Higgins as he jumps and skateboards his way through various platforming challenges.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I considered putting that on my list, but in the end, I just couldn't make it fit into the top 30.
I know. Once you start going through NES games, it's like, wow, there's a lot of great games here.
Yeah, I love Super Adventure Island on the Super NES, but the NES ones, they're a little more down the list for me.
That's true. Number two, Blades of Steel.
Ah, another fine pick.
Yes, Konami sports game that had some voice, well, at least just in the title. Blades of Steel. Mm-hmm. Ka-ching! I just remember rebooting the NES just to hear that voice sample over and over again.
That was pretty cool back then.
But I liked the hockey action, too. And the fighting that they had in there was always fun. I borrowed
it. Yep,
borrowed
that was the best part about it.
From a friend. Number three for me is Blaster Master, as you mentioned. Number four is Contra, which you also mentioned.
Yeah.
This was a game that my parents bought me and my brother. They were going out to some function or whatever, and they bought us a game, and it was Contra, and we played two-player Contra the rest of the night. It was fantastic.
Excellent. That's a good way to spend some time.
Indeed. Number five, Double Dragon. Much like you, okay. I think the original deserves some love. It's one of my favorite games. Number six, Dragon Warrior.
Okay.
Of course, I never actually played Dragon Warrior. I followed in Nintendo Power and Nintendo Fun Club News the talk of Dragon Quest. And when it came out in the US, I just was not really into RPGs at that time. So I missed that one.
Well, I'll be honest, it is not really the best game.
Yeah.
The fact that you only have one party member really slows down the pace and makes it into quite a slog in a lot of parts, but it is a very important game, and you know, I think that's the main reason I would put it on there. It isn't because, you know, it's one of the greatest, but it's certainly very, very deserving.
For sure. For sure. Number seven, DuckTales, of course. That game is a classic, and I mean, who can't forget the moon track?
That's right, the soundtrack. Moon track. And the giant rat you fight on the moon. That's
and
also
the giant
a great
rat,
part.
Of course, yes.
Giant cheese-hoarding moon rat.
Number eight, Earthbound Beginnings, for similar reasons as you mentioned. Number nine, Elevator Action.
Oh, okay.
Great arcade game that I had a lot of fun with, and I rented the NES game a lot, and would love to see that get some love on this.
Nice.
Number 10, Fester's Quest. I feel like Fester's Quest... People have kind of forgot about it, but back in the day, that was like
I have kind of forgotten
a
about
big.
It.
It was a big game, you know, published by Sunsoft. People love you, the Blaster Master. They made the Batman game and then Fester's Quest. So I was an Addams Family fan. I think this game came out before the reboot of that series in film, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and I used to watch the Addams Family on UHF TV. And I really enjoyed it. And actually, I never owned it back in the day, but rented it. And I bought a copy of it several years ago for the NES just to have.
Yeah, I never played that one myself much, but I think it's a solid choice. I'm surprised you picked that over Batman, though.
I know. Yeah, well, I never played the NES Batman game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Batman just barely missed the cut on mine.
Yeah. Number 11, The Goonies 2, of course. Fantastic game. Never actually owned it, but rented it a lot. Number 12, Kung Fu. So this is one of the first NES games that I played at a friend's house, another black box game. And just a really fun, I think it's an arcade port. And I don't even think that
Nintendo... Yeah, it was Kung Fu Master in the arcade.
Yeah, Nintendo didn't even develop this, right? Like it's
originally
somebody
else's. Yeah, this is an IRM game. And that's why it has, you know, sort of disappeared from existence, because it is not Nintendo's property. IRM owns it, and that's why it hasn't been on Virtual Console or anything like that. And yeah, that's a really good choice, and I should... Okay, you're out, G.I. Joe. Kung Fu is in.
There you go. Number 13, Legend of Cage, as the kids call it, or Legend of yes. Kage.
Oh, I hated that game.
I love this game. This was, so when I got the NES, I was able to choose a game, and I chose Super Mario Brothers, and my brother chose a game, and he chose Legend of Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we both had pretty good choices. I liked Super Mario Brothers way more. But I did enjoy my time with Legend of Cage, jumping around as a samurai and defeating ninjas who were trying to steal my girlfriend.
Oh, you were a ninja. Anyway,
oh.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I played that game recently, and I thought, okay, you know, I didn't have any idea what I was doing when I played this game as a kid. Let's try it now. I'm sure I'll be better. And I was just as terrible. It's like I run through the forest, and I make these huge jumps. But I have no idea how to actually proceed to the next level.
The huge jumps were amazing.
The huge jumps were amazing, and climbing the trees was amazing.
Yep.
But it's like I run and I run and I run, and then I eventually reach the end of the screen, and then I just, you know, get killed with a throwing star, and I never could get past the first map, either as a kid or as an adult.
I wonder, all I really remember about the game is jumping around, as you mentioned, and killing ninjas, and then grabbing a scroll out of a tree.
Yeah.
That's
maybe that's how you finish the level. I don't know.
Possibly. Number 14, Marble Madness.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the arcade game and rented this one a lot from the video store. And
it's ported by Milton Bradley.
Enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah, Milton Bradley. It's a Mark Cerny game, actually. He developed Marble Madness. Number 15, Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
Number 16, I think, you know, enough time has passed. I think it's time for Nintendo to bury the hatchet with Mike Tyson and actually put out Mike Tyson's Punch-Out in NES Classic version 2.
Yes, that would be great. That would definitely be great.
Yes.
He doesn't bite any ears off in the game.
Number 17, Ms. Pac-Man. This was a Tengen game, I think, so probably this is more pie in the sky, but everybody loves Pac-Man, so more of that, please.
Mm-hmm.
Number 18, Popeye.
Ah, that's another good choice.
Yeah, black box game.
I forgot about Popeye.
The original arcade game of Popeye by Nintendo is one of my favorite games. It was one of the first arcade games I remember playing. Back when I was growing up in Chicago, we had a place called the Purple Cow that my family went to for ice cream a lot. And they had Crystal Castles, and they had Popeye, and they had a Star Wars arcade machine in there. And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that is a very good choice. Yeah, that one, because of the fact that it's a licensed game and... You know, I guess Nintendo's like, no, we can't re-up our Popeye license. Too expensive. You know, it seems like we're never going to have a chance to play that game ever again, either the arcade version or the NES version. I mean, I don't think it's like, you know, the greatest game ever, but yeah, it certainly deserves to not be lost to time and should have a chance to be played again by people. Yeah,
yeah.
Good pick.
Especially because it's just a really fun game. It's sort of like a Donkey Kong and Mario Brothers sort of thing all in one. It's fantastic.
Yeah, either my friends or my cousins had that game, so I do remember playing it back in the day, but I knew very few people who owned it on the NES.
Yeah, me too. I did not own it, and I think I rented it maybe once.
Mm-hmm.
Number 19, pro wrestling, of course, has to be cool. In there.
The winner is you.
Yes. Number 20, Rad Racer.
Oh, nice. I considered that one as well. It's a good pick.
Yeah, that was a fun game back in the day.
I really wish they had ported that to 3DS so it could have had stereoscopic 3D thrown in.
Oh, that would have been interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Originally a Square game, though, right?
Yes, yes. It was developed by Square. But yeah, the first one was published by Nintendo. I think the second one on the NES was Square published,
not
Nintendo.
I think you're right.
But yes. Yeah. Yep.
Number 21, Rampage.
Hmm.
I mean, to tie into the recent movie release, of course. Kind of have that. Number 22, RBI Baseball.
Oh, okay.
Another sports game that I remember fondly, along with Bases Loaded, although that one did not make it on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And since RBI Baseball, since MLB like has kind of brought that series back on other platforms, why not license that to Nintendo for a classic reproduction?
Sure, sure. And that was one that was also by Tengen, but I believe was originally actually a licensed title. Before they had their big spat and decided to unlicense all of Tengen's games.
Number 23, RC Pro-Am.
Ah, nice.
And that is another on Rare Replay. But it's just more fun to play on an NES controller than the big honkin' Xbox controller. So I would really appreciate that on this.
Makes sense.
Number 24, Russian Attack.
Another Konami game?
Yes, this was the first NES game I played, actually. At a friend's house, he had Russian Attack and Super Mario Brothers, and I was immediately in love with the NES from those two games. Mm-hmm. Number 25, Rygar.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah, Tecmo game that I remember renting. We did not own this one, but I had a lot of fun with it and would love to see that come back.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great choice.
Number 26, another rare game, Slalom.
Hmm. I don't remember that one very well. I think maybe I played it once, had no idea what I was doing, and decided it was awful.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, I played that one on Rare Replay and had no idea what I was doing and was terrible at it. But mm-hmm. I really enjoy the graphics on it, and Rare Replay has like different challenges they want you to complete. And I spent a night doing challenges in Slalom and came to really enjoy the game. And okay. It would be fun to play it again on the NES.
Yeah, I'd be willing to give it another chance.
Number 27, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Konami.
The first one.
Exactly. The first one. Just because it was so frustrating, and I think
you like dying in seaweed.
Yeah, I mean, I rented this game and borrowed it from a friend. I never actually owned it, and I had fun with
it. I did. Boy, did I ever.
Even though it was bad in spots, I didn't feel like I wasted my money because my friend wasted his money instead.
I don't know why everybody complains about the dam area, because the dam area actually wasn't that hard. It was really the stuff after the dam that was most infuriating to me. But yeah. For some reason, that dam just really sticks in your head. I don't know why.
Yes, indeed. Number 29, Track and Field 2.
Oh, that was so close. That was almost on my list. I really wanted to say that one, but in the end, that was the final cut I had to make.
Yes. I had a ton of fun with this game.
I love that game.
Back in the day, the skeet shooting and the swimming are the two events I remember the most. And I quite enjoyed those.
I like all of them. I like the hammer throw. I like the triple jump.
Yeah.
I like the pole vault. The reason that I ended up finally cutting that one is because I know that my hands cannot take mashing the buttons like they could back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so unless they did release a turbo controller of some sort or that, classic NES Max thing I was talking about earlier, I would just not be able to play, like, past the first event. So that was why I ended up dropping it. But you are correct. It is a fantastic game and one of my favorite sports games. Well, not only on the NES, but of all time, really.
Indeed. Yeah, and if they had like an NES Advantage controller where you could turn on that turbo and adjust the speed, it would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's the way to play it.
Yes, and my number 30 is a puzzle game from Nintendo called Yoshi. And, I know a lot of people probably don't like Yoshi, but I did enjoy it. It's this sort of game where you place characters in between eggs and you try to make combos. It's a pretty interesting game, and it'd be just a fun little palate cleanser on an NES classic, because the first one had Wario's Woods, right? So this is kind of like the Wario's Woods.
No, the first one didn't have Wario's Woods.
It didn't? Mm-mm. Well, maybe maybe I'll replace Yoshi with Wario's Woods then, just to remind people that Nintendo can make bad games too. Urban Champion isn't already a reminder of that enough. But yeah, Yoshi was a lot of fun, and I wouldn't mind playing that again.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't like one of my all-time favorites, but it was fun in short bursts from time to time. Yeah, totally. Yep. I'll agree. Yep.
And that's my 30.
Okay. All right. That is not a bad list either. Some pretty solid choices on there. Yeah, unfortunately, there are no signs. There will be an NES Classic Volume 2. And heck, with the way Nintendo is going with their classic game releases, who knows how we'll be getting any stuff like this in the future. I mean, there are still 10 more games they're going to be launching alongside Nintendo Switch Online. So who knows? Maybe some of these could make the cut.
I'm thinking Yoshi is a lock.
I'm still hoping somehow Nintendo will hear all of the pleas for Contra over the years. This is when we've got to put on Nintendo Switch Online with two-player online co-op. But I'm not exactly holding my breath.
I mean, we did finally get the arcade version of Donkey Kong, and nobody thought that would happen. So you never know.
This is true. Very true. But then again, they aren't sitting in Konami's swimming pool full of pachinko money. So.
That's true.
Anyway, yeah, that was fun talking about our wishes there for the NES Classic Volume 2. Hopefully, those of you who did not originally get the NES Classic will be able to get one this time around without resorting to eBay or having to line up for hours and hours on end But my advice would be, if you really want to get one, you probably should get in line
yesterday.
Definitely now, or if not last week. Yeah exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. And with that, that brings this week's big topic to a close, and it's time to wrap up this week's edition of the podcast.
Don't we have time for one more thing?
You're right. I think we do have time for one more thing, and that is, of course, a dramatic reading. This time, it is Howard Phillips' Letter to the Readers from Nintendo Power Volume 4. Dear players, are we ever excited? At press time, we were on our way to the giant Consumer Electronics Show, which takes place in the city of Lost Wages. I mean, Las Vegas. This is a spectacular show where everybody in the electronics industry gets together to display their new hardware, accessories, software, inventions, and game packs. Imagine we, along with all 34 of our licensee companies, were together under one roof. The number of new licensee companies has grown dramatically and now includes such a familiar name as Milton Bradley. To all of them, we say, welcome aboard. What this means to you is that more imaginations than ever are at work to bring you the greatest number of choices in the history of video games. From what we've heard, this year promises to be the most exciting year yet. And with this much info to report back on, the March-April issue will be more powerful than ever in keeping you up to date on the best new games and helping you make the right game choices. So stick with us. There are monsters to be fought, people to be rescued, worlds to be saved, treasures to be discovered, and lots of great times to be shared. And in case we forgot, Happy New Year, gang.
Milton Bradley was all I could come up with. Big names like Milton Bradley.
That's certainly what I thought was most amusing about that letter was the name dropping of Milton Bradley. Sure. And also the fact that they only had 34 licensees at that time.
Huh.
I mean, how many licensed developers do you think they have now? Like hundreds, right?
Yeah, definitely hundreds.
But yeah, back then, the CES. CES was, that was like the greatest thing in my mind as a kid. Going there. That was before E3. That's what we had, was a Consumer Electronics Show.
That's right, a video game paradise.
Yep, twice a year. Did you ever get a chance to go to CES back when it was still a major thing?
I did. I caught the tail end of CES. I started going to those during the summer in Chicago because they had them twice yearly. They had one in January in Las Vegas and then one in June in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the 91 CES.
Oh, wow. So you got to see... probably Sonic the Hedgehog duking it out with Mario World or something.
Exactly. That was the introduction of the Super Nintendo and Sonic the Hedgehog, and it was a fantastic show.
Oh, wow. That goes way back, man.
Yes.
Way back.
Indeed.
Very cool. All right. That takes care of this week's episode of the podcast. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find CJ at SuperPack, with a C. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you left us a rating on iTunes or told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Johnston,
keep playing it loud,
and the Pirate Queen Tetra,
bye!
We will see you next time.